Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Mem Zayin. We're holding at the very top of the Yomid. And we're continuing with various halachas that relate to the Reya and to other Hilchas Treifas, as was shared by Rava. You recall, we already started Rava yesterday in the middle of the Yomid, Guf Amar Rava. Rava gave us a number of halachas, and he continues to share with us other halachas involving Hilchas Treifas, and specifically with the Reya, the Amar Rava. Hani tarti bui tismichi lahadodi. If you find on the outside of the reya of course are the lungs, that they're two bui. Bui means you have two blisters which have grown out of the lungs. And they're one next to each other. Normally, what type of dika do we make to find out whether or not there was a hole in the lungs? As you recall, we had yesterday in the Gemara, the ultimate test was you put it into a basin of lukewarm water, and then you see whether or not if the sounds that you hear are hissing sounds indicating that there was a hole. How do you go and check it out? So the Gemara said, initially you put on a gadfa or a roika or gila. Gadfa means a feather. Roika means saliva or spittle, and gila was kash, was straw. You see whether it flutters, you see whether it gets blown away by the hissing sound. Otherwise, you went and put it into this warm basin of water, and you see whether it bubbles in the water. If you see bubbling, you know that there is a hole in the reya, and then you got a lot of trouble. However, if you don't see any bubbling, the reason why you heard that hissing sound was because although there was a hole in the inner membrane, there was no hole in the outer membrane, and that's still good, the Gemara said yesterday. Here we're talking about that it has these two blisters from the outside. So Rashi says, you might think, okay, let's put this into the water basin, the warm water basin, see, are there any holes or not? Do we see any bubbling? No, no, no. Here the bubbling is not going to work. Because, says Rashi, you know how these two blisters were created? They were created by the fact that there was a nekev in the lungs, and from that nekev oozed out a certain amount of mucus or other body liquids that find themselves within the reya. And as they came up, they went and formed these two blisters, almost like scabs on the outside of the reya. And because these were two together, we can assume that there is a hole that's merging the two to keep these two together. If you look at the top Rashi, Tar Tibui Desmicha Adodi, these two blisters which are next to each other, Kim Leverova, the Einan Smuchois, how did they get two blisters, one next to each other, like Siamese twins? Ela Machmas Nekev Shohi Berea, Muzdach sign that there was a hole in the lungs. The Helo Hanekev Esabuas Halolu Svivav. And as a result of that hole, these two blisters grew out of it from whatever liquids were emitted by the lungs. But that's if you have two. So getting back to the more Hani Tarti Buidis Michla Dodi, less libidikusa. There's nothing to be boidek, because even if you would put it in the lukewarm water, expecting to see bubbles coming out, they're not going to come out. Because that hole has already been sealed by these two blisters. So you're saying to yourself, so that's good. If that hole has been sealed, l'choyre, that means that the animal now should be kosher. But we're going to learn in Yetshim on the Umber Beis that even if holes on the reya develop scabs and they're covered nicely, they do not have a shem of a full-grown, full-blown repair, and therefore it will not help the fact that you have that scab or that band-aid, or in this case the two blisters which are one together with the other. It's treif, you're done. But that's if you have two separate bui. What happens if you have choda? You have one large blister coming out. Doesn't have to be large. One blister. If the one blister is on its own, then that's not a problem. Here, however, it was one blister umischazia kitarti. It looks like two. Why does it look like two? There happens to be a very thin seam in the middle of the blister, and so therefore it looks as if these two were sewn one next to each other. And there I'm thinking to myself, is this a single blister that has this thing down the middle? Or, in fact, is it two separate blisters, and that's why they have this seam down the middle. So it seems strange. So what do I do? I have to determine whether this is a single blister or if it's a double blister. If it's a single blister, I'm okay. If it's two separate blisters, then Rava says, Kimlei l'Rava, that there's a hole there, and it's no good. And therefore, it'll be treif.
What's the importance of two versus one?
It's a very good question, and therefore Rashi answers the question with the first three words. Kimlei l'Rava. Kimlei l'Rava means Rava had a Mesoira from his Rebbes, and from their Rebbes, and their Rebbes, all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu, that if you have two blisters, one next to each other, they didn't come out miraculously. It had to do with that there was a hole there, and these two blisters grew out of that hole, and they sealed the hole, and the seal is wonderful and is great, but it does not take away the tarfis of the result of that hole. But that's when you have two. If you have a single blister, then implicit in what Rashi is saying in the Gemara, then you do not assume that there was a hole. It just grew out in a natural, normal fashion, and therefore you do not have to assume that there was any hole whatsoever. But I have here a problem if I have one blister where it has a seam down the middle, so it looks almost like they're two separate ones, and I'm not sure, is it really one? Is it really two? So the way to determine that is my sinan silui. Silu means a thorn or a prick. And what you do is ubazinala, and you prick one side of the two. In other words, you have, looks like two because you have that seam down the middle. So take eeny, meeny, miny, mo, one of the two, and burst it by taking this thorn, this pin, and bursting it. And now let's see. Ishafchem lahadodi chodehi ukshera v'iloi tarti ninu utrefa. You're going to see now at this point, once you've opened up one of them, are you going to see now any liquids passing by from one to the other and coming out? Then if you see that they have essentially within the blisters, they merge but as a result of making that hole, and you see, oh, you see taka, the liquid is sloshing back and forth from blister one to blister two, then you know that it's really one blister after all, notwithstanding the outward appearance that it happens to be two. Because after all, it's chaza, it's really one umeschazi getarti, but because of some sort of seam down the middle, it looks like it is two, but I'm not sure. This way, when I burst the bubble, so to speak, now I see if any liquid inside sloshes back and forth, it's a chasimin that it was only one. The eloi, however, if I don't see any mashka being shoifech lahadodi, in other words, I open this one, and whatever mucus or other liquids were there came out, however, but only in half of it. The other half I see is taka sealed, because nothing came out from the second blister. Oh, v'iloi tarti ninu, then it's two utreifa. This is based on a mesoida that Rava had. Two, I know there's a nekev. One, I assume that this was a natural growth, and no problem, no issue. The Amar Rav. And now Rava goes into the physical structure of a rea. And for this, it's good to have those pictures. In virtually every Gemara now, you have pictures and all the rest. The Amar Rav, hey uni islo l'reya, apa klapi gavra, tlosa mimina v'tarti mismala. The word uni are lobes. You have five lobes. Now, our Gemara refers to una. Underneath them, there are two which are called uma. And uma are much larger than the unois. Those are real large lobes. And these are smaller lobes. And the number of lobes that are in the rea, says our Gemara, is five altogether. And those five, depending, of course, which way you hold the rea, if you hold it right side up or upside down, because, as you know, when they used to go and flay, that means strip the animal after the shechita, and then they had to go, of course, remove all the innards, and then ultimately they had to go and cut the meat into pieces, into slices. So, typically they held it up by the one of the four legs, and four legs not being one out of the four legs, but one of the back legs, the four legs, yeah. And therefore, now when you're opening up and slicing down the middle of the animal, when you see there all of the innards, they are basically upside down from what you would normally see, because you don't have it from head going down to the tail, but rather, not the tail, the tail's already been cut off, but at least the hind leg going down to the head down on the bottom. So the point of...
Is called hinds or
foreleg? The hind leg's a foreleg. Yeah, we have different terms. See, the Amar Rava, hey, uni isla l'rei. So now I'm looking at the reya when it's upside down, where apa, its front, is klapi gavra, is to the person. When we say the front is because, think of how when the animal is walking down the street, for instance, so the reya is, of course, within the middle of the animal. Now, if you were standing or lying under the animal's belly and you were looking up and you had x-ray vision, then you would see apa. That would be the face of it, the front of the reya, as opposed to if you were sitting on the back of the cow or any animal, then you would be riding on top of it. That would be the back of the reya. So that's why the Gemara uses the term apa, the front of it. So now, you're looking at the front of the reya, and you see that it has, or it should have, five unais, five such lobes. And what happens? Klosim imina, three of them are on the right-hand side of the lobe, the tajim small, and two are on the left-hand side. When happens if chosir, one is missing? So instead of having three and two, you only have two and one, or two and two. Or the other way around, that the other one that's supposed to have two only has one, and this has three. In other words, you're missing one of the lobes. Or yater, you have an extra lobe. Instead of only having three and two, you have four and two, or three and three, etc. Or yicholif, or there's a switch. What's a switch? Instead of finding on the right-hand side three, and the left two, you have two on the right, and three on the left. So the total is the same, but they're switched around. Trefa, no good. All of these cases are trefa, no good. So now the Gemara tells us, who yiserta dasoy lekami de mereimer. There was taka a yateris. Yateris means that we had an extra one. Not an extra reya, but an extra lobe. Instead of having three and two, it was four and two. It came in front of Mareva. Now we just paskined a moment ago in the name of Rava that chosir or yater is possible. Our Gemara doesn't tell us here, but the Gemara later on is going to go and tell us, because kol yaser
cannot
ol dummy. Anytime that you have something extra, it's as if you're taking off a piece. Now if you're wondering, why if you're adding, is that bad? That's good. The point is, since you are now spreading the koiches of this reya, not just over five lobes, but over six lobes, presumably that means there will be a weakness in the other five lobes that are normally there. Normally they have their strength, their natural vitality of being inside the animal. But now this animal has to support, if you will, not just five lobes, but six lobes. And so therefore, it could be that the ear or the blood or whatever that has to go and support the five is now being weakened by having to shear it over six. If you don't like the svara, it's also good. The point is that according to Rava, yeser is just like notel, et treifa. But as we'll see in the Gemara right now, it's not that simple. Rava says it's taka treifa. But how we assert that there was an animal which had such a yatir? That's why the commander of Mareimar, it came in front of Mareimar. Havi Yosef Rav Acha Abava. Rav Acha was sitting outside, meaning at the doorway of the Bismedish. Why he didn't go in, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but he's sitting outside. On Malay, now the Shoichet, or the Boidik, or the Balabuz, that brought this Reya with the Yatir, with the extra lobe, who brought it in front of Mareimar, he's coming out now. So Rav Acha now starts drilling him. My Omelach, what did Mareimar paskin? Omelach Achshanili, he says it's Kusher, even though it was a Yatir situation. Omelach, so Rav Acha assumed that Mareimar was not focusing. In other words, his mind was in Bavakama, Bav Metzia, not in the middle of Chulin. And therefore, Omelach Hoder Eilikameh, I think you should go in again and point out that the reason why you're asking is because it's a yatir. Instead of being three and two, it's four and two. Lamashal. Omalei zil. So now he came in front of Mareimar. Hitaka showed him the ray again. Mareimar says, what are you doing here? He says, I just wanted to point out. I know if you realize they're four and two, not three and two. So Mareimar already smelled something. Zil emalei laman di yosef abava. Go and tell whoever's sitting outside there in the bava that asked you to come back in. Don't think that I messed up because I was busy in Bava Kama. We don't paskin like Rav Beyateres, and Beyateres is kosher v'yosher. But now he or the Gemara at Vahani Mili, when do we say it's kosher? The Kaima Bedora Dune. That's only if it happens to be in the same Dora. Dora means in the same row together with the other Unais. Meaning you have three on the right hand side instead of three. You have four coming out on the right hand side. Instead of two on the left, you have three coming out on the left. So that's kosher. Of a baini baini, if you were to find extra such Unais in the middle, in other words, straight down the middle between the right row and the left row, you have in the middle an extra Una, and you, hey, where did that come from? Or an Una growing out of an existing Una or an existing Uma. In other words, it's not in the natural growth of an additional Una, but rather it's smack in the middle somewhere. Treifa, then it's Taka Treif, because that Reya and that animal cannot exist. So, there was such a case where a Reya had an extra Una in the middle, not on the right, not on the left, but in the middle. So Ravashi the Mitzvah. So Ravashi said, listen, we just learned the Gemara that even that when it happens to be in the same row, you're fine. But Beni Beni, it's Treif. Omale Rav Huna Mar Bar Avya. So Rav Huna Mar Bar Avya said to Ravashi, no, Kolhani Chivi Briyasa Hochi Islahu. All of the modern day animals that we have today, meaning chivi means animals, briyasa that graze outside in the fields, or says Rashi another pshat, briyasa means that are briyois ushmanois, that they are really strong and they're
have plenty of healthy and normal.
Healthy and normal. Oh, very good. Yeah. All of these healthy and normal ones, hachi islu, what you are pointing at, that una that you mean, that is common in all of our animals. The Korulu Tavchi and the Shochtim refer to it as Inunisa Devarda. What's Inunisa Devarda? Rashi says Inunisa is as if it's written with an Aleph, Inunisa, and what it means is a small Unala, not a Groisa Una, a Kleinshige Una. Just like in Yiddish, you have a large spoon, you say Alefel, and if you have a teaspoon, you say Alefela. So here too, instead of an Una, it's an Inunisa. As a klinchige, and it has the feel of a varda. Verid is a rose, so both in terms of the feeling, as well as the color, says Rashi, it's both reddish or pinkish, if you will. At klishos, it's also nice and soft, as you would expect the petal of a rose.
So he's saying in modern times, what does that mean? Does that mean there was some sort of evolution or something?
It so happens in the time where Rav Ashi lived in Bogle, that he had a lot of animals that he had that characteristic. When they shafted them, they found them. Mm-hmm. There was
so
some
it's
quality.
Within a species.
Right. They see they're breeding there. They see it's a common thing in their area. And they're saying this is not Mishuna.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yes, to show for those of you that like seeing pictures, you see, I'll first show on this side and then show on the other side. We have over here the three Unais coming out, and three Unais this side and two Unais over here, and smack in the middle, you see this clinch, you get this small little lobe. That's called Inunisa Devarda, the small rose-like lobe. That's there in the middle. Here we go. Now for our Chaverim over here, looking at this picture over here. You see on one side three and the other side two. And then in the middle,
it's a photo. This is of a deer.
A deer? I don't know.
Of a snake.
Deer. Prudence.
It's a very deer. Anyway, but you see over here in this picture, the small little one there in the middle, three and two, and the small one, and that's called the Nunisa Divide. Ah, clean, she got a little one.
So that's normal?
Totally normal. So much so that Rashi has now a Ganze Shaila. What happens if you find two of them? Do you say that's a yater? Or do you say, once you find one inisa, you can have two inisa? So Rashi has a discussion about that here on the bottom, whether that's considered to be a yater or not. Apparently there was a machloikis about all that. See, look at the last Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Ukinamishtakchon tarti unisa, when you find two of them. Shemati mipi moiri azokin shenechlichu ba gedoy li hador. Big gedalim. Rabbi Yehuda b'Reb Baruch v'chaveirav. So my Rebbe told me that there's a big machloikas, but he never told me what he, in fact, holds. And there's Rashi, v'nir li shehi treifa. The yater is the beini beini. First of all, it's the yater is in the middle. V'lav orcha d'chod d'guf, v'lav orcha. And that's not the normal way lungs are created. The chod d'guf, v'le'achshron, even the one, only bekoshi where we machshir, and mishum d'chol hanach b'riyasa hachi yislehu. That's every single animal. We brought in 100 animals today into the base Hashchita and the Shlachtos. Every one of them has it. You can tell me every one of them is what? And this happens every day of the week already for months and for years. So therefore, that one is grandfathered in, if you will. But two, the Shinish. And now don't push the envelope too much. So therefore, one is kosher, two are trash. And then he may or may not come depending on his...
One Beinonius or one extra?
We had the one small one in the middle. So that's, he's saying kosher? One is kosher. Yeah. If you have two of them, Rashi says it's trace.
In the middle,
right. It's got to be baby, baby. If it's on the side, then it's not a problem. In other words, if it's in the row with the other ones, instead of three and two, you have four and three on the side. That's not a problem. Because that just means that the lobes, Baruch Hashem, expanded and grew up. But in the middle, it doesn't come in the middle, except for their clean sugar. Their clean sugar, yeah, that's okay. But if you have two of them, that's already, it's a machloikis, but Rashi himself paskas, nearly, shehi treifa. And Rashi says that would be true. Vahani mili, says Rashi, mi gav, not Rashi, says the Gemara, vahani mili mi gavoi. That's when you see it on the front side. That's this side that we saw. If you turn, however, you see the second picture, you don't see anything over there because that's the back side. What's the back side? Back side would mean that side that sees the spine on top. Right? If you would open up the animal from the front, what you see in front of you is that agaba that Gemara called before. Yeah, that's okay. You see the inisa devarda in front of you. Avol on the yamid veins of agaba. If you're talking about the other side, what was the other side? The one that sees the spine, a filu kitarfa di asa, even if you find an unisa, which is so small, like the leaf of hadassim. For those of you that have ever used hadassim on sukkis, you know how small each leaf is. Of course, you have to have three leaves coming out, otherwise it's hard to shoita. Sorry?
In the shape of an eye.
Very good.
That's the myrtle?
The myrtle, yes, exactly the myrtle. That's very good, very good. And what is the arava called?
Willow.
But it's a weeping willow. It's not just them, because they're always weeping. The leaves are always going down as if they're crying.
Some people call their daughters myrtle, and some people call them willow.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I never heard of those names, but if you say so, I believe it. Anyway, so says the Gemara, even if the lobe is, it would make this Elisa Devarda look like a home run hitter, real big, because it's, sorry?
A Goliath.
A Goliath, that's a much better metaphor, thank you. Because this is only the small, little, like an eye, like a myrtle, agunish. Nevertheless, it would be treif, because on that side it's smooth. It's only on the other side where you see all of the various cutting outs, if you will, of the various lobes. Okay, by the Omer Rafram, Hayreya de Damya li Ufsa. If you have a Reya, which is again lungs, which look like or are similar to Ufsa. You may recall we had Ufsa earlier on in our Masechta, but in a totally different connection. We had a machloikis whether or not you had to have a ma'acheles, a knife for shechting, which happens to be tolush and not mechubar. So, the ask the Tana that holds that you have to have it tolish and not mechuber. Where do you take this from? He said, because it said by Avraham Avinu,
right, and
he repeated. And
the repeated. Is about the, which pasuk you take it from, right?
Yeah, that's a separate story. And then the Gemara said about that. Yeah. So if you recall back on Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, Tes Zayin, he said, V'Rabchia Kamei de Rebbe, the Yosef Rebbe, the Ka'amar, it's about a third down the Omer, Minayin Lishchita Shiba Tolush, and never Yikach HaSamachelis Lishchait. Amle Rav, the Reb Chia, my Ka'amar. What did he say? Amle Vov Diksiv A Ufsa Ka'amar. He said what was akin to a Vov on a piece of cut wood. What does that mean? If you try to go and write any letter on a cut piece of wood, as you know, it won't come out nice and pretty. And so therefore, that's how much, I think, of the drasha that we just heard. Anyway, but our Gemara said, I'm just trying to bring your raya that we've had this word ufsa before, just trying to show off. And so the Gemara tells us now that the raya, if it was similar to ufsa, then it's treif. The question is, in which respect is it similar to ufsa? So we're going to see now, although it's going to sound like five pshatim, it's really three pshatim altogether. Ik di amri bi chazuta. Chazuta means in its appearance, which means like its color. The ik di amri bi gishta, in its feel. So ik di amri dinafiha. Dinafiha means when you blow it up by either manually or on a machine, and now the whole thing is blown up. Says Rashi, and you'll notice after it's blown up, instead of having its normal flesh color, it has a whitish color. Rashi, in the second line, the nefichah nasis levona kibikas, it looks white, like a cutout of a piece of wood from a tree after you cut it. It looks all nice and white. V'hani nami b'chazusa. So that's really explanation of the chazusa. So we started off ikadiyam b'chazusa, in its appearance, we mean nefichah, for instance, such a whitish appearance, like when you blow it up, it looks like the white part of the cut piece of wood. So therefore, chazus and neficha is basically the same. The ikri ami de pachiza. Pachiza is the same thing as gishta, which means, that also means that it's hard and it feels hard in the field. So those two are basically the same. The ikri ami, but there is a third pshat that the reya is like ufsa, to shia, that it's nice and smooth. So less lochi tucha di uni. It doesn't have those cuttings of the various lobes. In other words, this is a type of lung which doesn't have three lobes on the one side and two lobes on the other side, and the unisa divide in the middle. It looks like one large glob which has not been developed and has not been cut up into different pieces.
Differentiated.
Good. Anyway, so therefore that's the third pshat in the pshat of Daimel Ufsa. So either in its appearance in terms of its color, or in terms of how hard it is, brittle and hard, and or that it is totally smooth without any subdivisions of the various unois and umois.
So it's glat and it's treif.
It's glat treif. Good. Omer Rava, next, thank you, that was very cute. Kikuchla ksheira. Vus mein kikuchla. So Rashi says, tseva kochoil, Shehu kemara lazur. You're wondering to yourself, "Vus might lazur?"
Azur is French. Yeah.
So if you look at minus gemara's yud, and that in the Hagoyes v'tziyunim, and Hagoyes v'tziyunim nirshem etzidoi, bloy is blue. Kemara rakia, like you see upstairs in the Shemaim, Hagoyes Ranjaburg. Anyway, so that's the kuchla means that it's blue. That's kshedah. If you see that the it has such a bluish appearance of the reya, that's kosher. Kediusa, however, if it looks like dioi means black ink, like you use for shtorois or for writing a sefer Torah or what have you, that's black, then it's treifa. Black is no good. Another situation is black is beautiful, but not over here when it comes
in a few days.
Yeah, Juneteenth or something?
Yeah.
Okay. With the parade, without the parade.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The Medusa, it's treif. The Amr Rav Chanina, Rav Chanina says elsewhere, we're elsewhere, in Mesechtes Nida,
yes.
There's a Mishnah Mesechtes Nida that enumerates five different marois, yes, which are ksamim, which the Chacham say means that the woman, unfortunately, she's tamea. Because of these kums, I mean spots, for instance, on her clothing or whatever. And the one of the five which are mentioned in the Mishnah, although the other four are all surrounding around the red and pink and things like that, one of them is black. And you think to yourself, what does black have to do with it? So Reb Chanina says, because Shachar Odim Hu, really, Shachar originally was red, Elishalaka, but over time, or because of some sort of disease or infection, it turned black. But really, in its essence, it's red. So therefore, the red and the black, nishgit, and therefore the reya is treif. And the animal, of course, is treif. Now, yeruka ksheira, the yorik is kosher, and we'll see shortly that the yorik that we're talking about means a green yorik. So this is something that all of you know from having learned Shas numerous times, that when it comes to yorik, sometimes yorik means yellow, and sometimes yorik means green. When the Gemara is very insistent to tell you that we're talking about that it's green, it says Yore Kikarsi. Kikarsi means like leek, which is what we're going to have a little bit further down, because Greek leek apparently is very, very green. So we're telling you that this is Yore Kikarsi, it's really green, and it's not yellow. Okay, so now the Gemara says Yoroika, which means green, then it's kosher. Mid Reb Nosson, what did Reb Nosson say? Okay, we'll see in a moment. Aduma, if it's reddish, it's also kshera. Mid Reb Nosson, even though a moment ago we said reddish is no good, here Reb Nosson says it is good. What is the story with Reb Nosson? Desanya. And now the Gemara is going to bring down two fascinating stories that happened.
Unbelievable,
exactly.
We talk about Ishakatlani, very three times. Is good.
Very good, very good. You know your stuff.
Oh, maybe don't blame the wife. Very good story.
Good, beautiful story. So let's see the stories. Everybody wants to hear the story. One time I was going to the Inzlach. Inzlach means to the islands in the sea, the Mediterranean or whatever.
Yeah.
And a woman comes in front of me, and she is... Okay, don't give away the whole story. I want to give away the story. Okay?
I'm dealing with material.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible.
Yeah, mommy's terrible. Anyway, so she's coming to Reb Nosson, very teary-eyed. Why is she teary-eyed? She said, she already never had her first son, her Bechor, or her first son had a bris, umes, and Nebuchadnezzar, he passed away. Sheini, another bris for the second son, umes, and Nebuchadnezzar, he passed away. Shlishi, the third one, have Yossi Lefanai, says Reb Nosson, she is now bringing this child in front of me to ask me, presumably, for Eitzis, or for a bracha, or for both. So I saw that he was unusually red in his complexion. You can see he was very reddish from top to bottom. I said to her, Biti Hamtini Lai, don't do the bris now on the eighth day. Wait. What's happening is that the dam has not gotten absorbed into the skin and into the body, but rather it's all the way on top, right over the flesh of an individual, and right underneath the skin. And that's the reason why he appears to be so reddish, because the dam has not settled. So he said to her, Hamtinli, wait, until the blood settles into the body, and then you'll see everything will be fine. And Hamtinli, and Shitaka took that Eitzah, and she waited, and eventually they had a bris, V'choyim Baruch Hashem, the child lived, V'yakoyin Uysi Nosen Habavli Al Shemi. Exactly. So it says Reb Nosson, because of my Eitzah Tov, and because of Baruch Hashem, the child is alive and kicking and well, so they called him Nosson Abavli after my name. So that's a siman that the reddishness doesn't mean it's a treifa, it just means you gotta wait until it settles in. But it's not Chas V'Shalom a treifa, the child was fine, it was healthy. V'shuv b'machas alach l'medinas kaput kaya. Another time I had another trip to Kaput Kaya. Basa isha l'fonai. An almost identical situation. Shemola beno harisha, she married her first child with mace, Nebuch. Sheini umes, again Nebuch. Shlishi heviyosi lefanai, she brought him in front of me. Reisiv, and I saw shahaya yoroik, I saw that he was green. He tzatzti boy, and I looked at him very carefully. Vlahoya boy dambris, and I saw that he did not have enough dam in him. So maybe it wasn't green, maybe this yoroik means that he was yellow. And therefore, jaundice, good. He wasn't dumb enough, yeah. Anyway, a point, there was not enough dam, and therefore he said to her, Amarti lo biti hamtini loy, wait, at sheyipul by domai. He needs more blood. He's too yellow, too jaundiced, whatever. Wait, go to the doctor and ask him for a bilirubin count. Don't do the bris yet, because I see we're not ready yet. Hamtini loy, Shishitaka waited, and Baruch Hashem after that, apparently he came back to a normal complexion. It didn't look yellowish. It didn't look jaundiced. It looked like a normal child. And she performed. She had a mila performed. V'choya and Baruch Hashem, the child is alive and kicking. And guess what? So now Nosson Abavli is proud that he has two children named after him, even though he was still alive. presumably he was a Sephardi, and by the Sephardim, they do that, they go in. And,
yeah.
Sorry?
He was a Babylonian, so he was a Sephardi.
A Sephardi, okay. So that they now...
He was Nassim, so he gave him...
He gave good advice. That's why he was called Nassim. Very good, beautiful. Anyway, so Mazel Tov, Baruch Hashem, a double Mazel Tov. So what do I see from this? That these two colors are good colors for purposes of the Reya. It's not a Treifa, to the contrary. You just got to wait it out, and everything is fine. Baruch Hashem. So that was why the Gemara said that it's Kusha Midram Nasan. Now we go a little bit further. Umr of Kahana, what happens if I have a Reya that has the color of Kikavda, like a liver? Exactly what the color of a liver is. I guess it's brownish, reddish, something like that.
Yeah.
And what's that color? This is Kusha. Kibisra, however, if it has the normal appearance, like flesh of the animal, Treifa, that's no good. Now, I would have thought the other way around, because after all, the effect of the fact that this is surrounded by the basar, then maybe that should make it kosher. But no, kibisra is treifa. How are you ever going to remember this? V'simonach is a simon. Uvasar basar de treifa loisei cheilu lakelev tashlichon oisei. So the Torah used the expression ubasar and then treifa to tell you that if the reya had the complexion like basar, it had the appearance and the color of a basar, then it's treifa. So that's a mnemonic for you to remember. Omer av sama berei derava, hay reya dedamya ki kishusa, uki mayrika, uki goyim beyasa, treifa. Ela, yuroika dekshei reichi damya, ki karsi. So again, this is the discussion we had briefly before, that yoroik can mean yellow, and yorik can also mean green. So he's saying, if the rei is damia ki kishusa, kishusa are hops, which are used in brewing beer, which have a yellow complexion. Or ki mayrika. Mayrika is a fancy spice, which is called in English saffron. Apparently that's also yellowish. Uki goin beyasa. Beyasa is an egg. All three of those, with the egg we mean the yellow of the egg, all of those have a yellowish complexion to them, a yellowish color. So about all three of them, says our Gemara, if the Reya has that yellow tint to it, it's treifa. Aye, but you said Yeroike before, you said it was Kusha. Hey, chidamia ki karsi, that means it's like karsi, like leek, L-E-E-K, which apparently is very green. That's what we meant, that it's kosher if it's kikarsi. But if it's yellowish, toignisht. I'm sorry?
What's the normal color of the lung? We learned before that if it looks like dates and it's reddish, which resembles basar, it's kosher.
Come on.
There are many different levels of red and black. If you remember, today we're saying that black is no good. Yesterday, said black was good. There's a whole toisis about that on the Amid Beis, the Memvav Amid Beis. Here we said earlier, Kidyusa, which is black ink, we said is treifa. And then on Memvav Amid Beis, yesterday we learned if it was Uchmi, if you recall, and they have the fourth toisis on the top of Memvav Amid Beis, Uchmi, which also means black, Pirish Bekuntris Taish, Sheyesh Ba Marois Shchoyrois. It has such a black tint to it, a black appearance. So yesterday's Gemara said that it was kosher. Today, however, V'od Yamrin B'Samach, we're going to see shortly, meaning today, Kidyus is Treifa, Yesh Lefarish Tehayni Kishuru B'Kach, when Roiv happens to be black. If it's Emir is black, it's okay. Roiv are black, there's Toynish. And Ma'aseh B'Lefnei Rabbeinu Tam, B'Hichshir Kishloi Hoysa Ruba Shchoyra. He was Machshir, if it wasn't red, if it wasn't black, that's what we said, B'Shem, I think Rav Chanina, that said that when you learn in the Sechtis Nida, that of the far of Maro's Dam, that Shachar is really a form of the reddish, Ela Shaloka, in Kay Mali Ruba, Mali Mitzasa, Kim Dai De Lakusi, what difference does it make? Abisala, Aroiv, obviously there's some sort of infection or disease. V'nirlefar, the Uchmi Dehacha, Hainuki Kuchla, Kikuchla is the choil, which we said before, is bloy, is blue. So you see that these questions about the different tints and the different variations of colors, that was already a discussion among the Rishonim. Some depends exactly what the color is to make it treif or not treif. In terms of what it usually looks like, to my knowledge, I haven't seen a reya in a while. If you remember 7.5 years ago, Rabbi Cohen, Zechon Levracha, one time brought in a reya to show everybody, and the reya was had a bit of an aroma to it, v'dai v'chakim v'ramiza. Anyway, but the point is that it was, I believe, some sort of brownish type of coloration, brownish, pinkish coloration, but it wasn't firmly red or firmly black or green. It was somewhere in between. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Omer Avinu, Otum b'reya. What happens if, after the Shechita, they take the reya, they blow it up? Years ago, this was done manually. People would blow it. Today they have blowing machines that blow it up. It's similar in concept for those of you that when you were children, you had balloons, you had to go and blow into the balloon. But what happens if you have these huge balloon, like you go to the Macy's parade? So then, of course, a human being could do it, could try to blow it up and take a year to try to blow up one of those balloons. So you have to have a machine. And so nowadays, yes, I'm sorry?
Helium.
Oh, helium.
He's a compressor, because it takes just takes air from the atmosphere.
Oh. So if it's a person who is not yet, he is allowed to blow it up?
Yeah, and anybody can blow it up. The point is, after you blow it up, then you have to inspect it from all sides to make sure it has no holes or no sirchais. Sirchais means that you have like a plug growing out of the hole, and depending on whether it comes off easily or not, machlokes the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim, what the strength of the any sirch at all,
and it's more expensive when there's inflation.
Yeah, you're talking about
inflation. Yeah, if it's inflated,
very good. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so what we have over here is they blew up the whole reya as if it was a balloon, and then one part of it on the right or on the left or in the corner didn't become inflated. It just remained there like it was before inflating this reya. So they realized that it's otum. Otum means that it was somehow verstopped. It was sealed. Yeah, exactly. And the question is, what's the seal and what's going on over here? So we're going to go and do the famous otum bereya test. And what is that? My seal and sakina, you go and bring a knife, the karina lo, and you go and prick, you make a hole in that otum bereya. He is bamugla. If there happens to be mucus or other types of lung juices that are there, and that's why it didn't...
Touch it with your knife.
Exactly. And that's why it didn't allow for the ear to get in, to go and fill up that otum spot, because it was already full. It was full of the mucus. Then vadi machmas mugla, then this is kind of normal, because all reyes have a certain amount of liquid in it. Of course, if it's too much liquid, even by human beings, chas v'shalom, you have to go and give special pills to get out all of the extra water in the lungs. Here we're not talking about water, we're talking about mugla. This is a mucus type of liquid. So that's kind of normal. So then let's kosher. The Eloi, and if you don't find any mugla over there, but rather now that I've made the hole there in that otum reya, masvina lo god for iroiko imevatsvitsa. I'm sorry, imevatsvitsa. This is the same test that we already talked about yesterday, that if you go now and put on top of it, god for is a feather, a roiko or spittle, imevatsvitsa, if as a result it starts fluttering or you see that the roiko starts moving as a result, so then it's kshaya, because what happened was it's a result of that hole that you made, and that's why it's fluttering and all the rest. The loy. And if after you went and stuck it with the pin and pricked it, it still doesn't cause the god for roika to go and be mavatsvit, to flutter and to move and to go, then it's a simon that it's dreifa, that this lung unfortunately has some sort of infection or defect or disease, and that's the reason why. Yeah, the mugla's pass. Yeah, we discussed that already. So then that's why that piece happens to be all frozen in place and it's not moving, and it, you can prick it and it's all just gunished. So therefore, it's treifa, and therefore no good. Omer of Yosef, krum she'ola machmes makah bereya einikrum. We discussed this briefly on the Omer Aleph. There was a hole inside the reya. And guess what happened? Kodesh Baruch Hu made that the natural development of the reya, that it created its own seal. In English, we would call it a scab over the hole in the reya. So you and I might think, okay, Baruch Hashem, there was a problem, and the problem went away because it's now sealed with this new scab on top. Says Rabbi Yosef, this does not help for Hilchos Treifis by a reya. Even though there's a nice seal on it, and all the Chachamim and Avonim, all the veterinarians, they all come, ah, this is perfect, this animal could live another 50 years had it not been geshochten. I'm sorry, says Rabbi Yosef, krum sh'olam machmas makah bereya, if there was a hole, and there's now a crumb over it, a scab, a new growth on top of it, einakum, this is worthless, gunished. The animal is not kosher. This is, says Rashi, the basis of what the whole oilam always talks about, is sircha in the lungs. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi's about 7 or 8 lines above where we are in the Gemara, where it says, Einoi krum, says Rashi, sesoifeli saser. Have this animal not been geshachted, but you would have waited a week or a month, then, and you would have shechted it then, you would have seen that that scab that fell over, that grew over it, fell away, sesoifeli saser, and therefore it was worthless. That's Rashi, v'chol sirchi dereya. Anytime we come across a sircha, what does a sircha mean? Sircha means you blow up the lungs and then you find that it has like little tails coming out, little pieces of flesh which are extending from that, from part of the rea, and you think to yourself, oh, it looks fine, it looks okay to me. That all those sirchas are krum ha'ila machmas makahen. What really what we have over here is a miniature scab, which is a natural stopper that's supposed to stop the bleeding of that and the hole in the rea. However, hilkach afokav deloy nofik zika, even though now there's no draft, there's no air coming out, now it seems to be a good sealant. However, because of the fact that soifali saucer, eventually it would crack, it would break, it would, the seal would open, so it's not a chasima shel kayama, it's only a temporary fix. It's treifa. So that's what Rav Yosef says, and that's the sirch in the lungs that is a common problem today. And virtually, I wouldn't say virtually all, but the majority of all animals when they shech them today, no matter how strong, how good, what good breeding they had, and the good nourishment that they had, many, many of them, the roiv of them, have sirchois coming out. So is that kosher? Not kosher. Among this, the Mechaber says if it has any type of sircha, treif, no good. According to the Ashkenazim, if it has a sircha which is easily removable, you just take it off. Ah, Baruch Hashem, there was nothing. It was really I removed the band-aid, nothing happened. I just pull off the sircha. So then the Ashkenazim hold that it's kosher. And then there, of course, a machloikis, what's the degree of easiness in removing the sircha? So real, true, glat kosher means, where did the name glat come from? That you have a rea which is totally smooth, no sirchas growing out. That's the ideal, that's mahadrim and mahadrim, and that's the shchitat bet yosef that you can buy nowadays, which is taka very, very, very smooth and clean, no sirchas whatsoever. Our glat kosher does have sirchas, but they are, if you will, easily removable sirchas, and that's why they gave him the term glat kosher, because as soon as you remove it, it's nice and smooth. But it's not on the same madrig. Anyway, so continuing on. So Rav Yosef says, Krim Sha'ola, Einai Krim. The Omer of Yosef, Hai Reya the Avsha. Now this is a repeat of what we had yesterday. These next 10 lines we had already yesterday in Gemara. Hai Reya the Avsha. You hear a Reya that makes a hissing sound. And you're saying to yourself, after you blow it up, and you hear, it's if there's air that is coming out, so you hear such a hissing sound. Iyadinen hecha afsha, if you know where the sound emanates from, manchin Allah, put on that part of the reya, a gadfa oi gila oi reika. Gadfa is a feather, gila is a kash, is straw, reik is spittle. Imavatvitsa, if you see that they start jumping up in the air after you put them down, then treif, then obviously that there's a hole that emanates from the reya itself all the way to the outside, because you just blew it up. And you see that hissing sound, and now you heard the hissing sound, and you see how the gadfa gila and roika are dancing or jumping, is the chasimin that this reya has a big hole in it, and it's treif. However, viloi, if they do not dance, then it's kshev, it's kusha. Then where's the hissing sound coming from? I mean, I hear it. So Gemara is going to say in another few lines, we learned this already yesterday, that there's an internal hissing sound, which means that the inner membrane, remember we learned yesterday the two membranes, the inner membrane in which you have the actual rea, then you have an outer one. Okay, so what happened is, there obviously is a hole in the inner membrane, and that's what's causing all that noise, because of the air escaping from the lung, in between the outer membrane and the inner membrane. But because the outer membrane, Baruch Hashem, is gantz, it's whole, without a hole, Therefore, it's going to be kosher. So you hear the hissing sound, but they don't jump because, for Hashem, the outer membrane is intact. So, what happens? You hear the hissing sound, and you look, and you're up and down and back and forth, but you can't identify where the sound coming from. So, yes, we had Meshichla. You go and bring such a basin, the Mayapshuri of lukewarm water. You put the lungs in it as it's inflated. So you want to see whether any bubbles come out when you immerse it in the water. But Hamimi, don't put it into the hot water, loy the kafti, because then it will shrink. And therefore, if there's any hole, once the walls of the Reya shrink, you won't be able to go and see the hole anymore. So there was a hole all along, but you don't see it because it was contracted. Bikriri, if you're talking about cold water, loy the matarshi, because then it becomes very hard and brittle. And then when you're going to go and touch it and feel it, it's going to create holes because of the brittleness. Elabakin labshuri, but you'd rather use the lukewarm water. Imavatritza, if you see by putting it into this large basin, if the ray is too large for the basin, you'll put it into the bathtub. Fill the bathtub with lukewarm water. If you see now bubbles coming up, it's a trefi. Obviously there's a hole. Viloy, if however no bubbles go up, it's ksheira. So you're wondering, so where is this sound coming from? Tato in kiv, that's what we said before, the inner membrane has a hole in it. Ilo aloy in kiv, but the outer membrane does not have a hole. Behind the afsha, zika the beni benihu. That afsha, that means the sounds that you hear, that is the draft of air that is in between the inner membrane and the outer membrane. Amr ula amr b'yoychanan reyeshin nishpacha kikitain ksheira. The ray, of course, in its inner structure, has alveoli, and it has a certain degree of bronchi. Anyway, it has all different types of segments and subsegments, all different types of things. So Gemara is telling us is that even if some of the besar horea, the flesh of the rea, so to speak, even if some of that happens to have dissolved and deteriorated within the rea itself, so that it's nishpacha kikitain, you take the rea and you listen, it's sloshing back and forth as if you had a container and you... After davening zola, good. Yes, after davening. Reya she nishpacha kikitain...
I'm listening to Shira.
Okay? Simon, don't get so upset. It's good, good. Anyway, so you have the reya she nishpacha kikitain, you have the lung, which is now shofech, it is now spilling, sloshing back and forth, like a container. A ketan is like a container that you use for pouring. Anyway, it's kshed. This is kusha. In other words, even though some of the internal stuff is deteriorated, this is good. Alma kasova, because he holds chisarn, mefnim, leishme chisarn. Any chisarn within the ray itself, this is good. Eizver Rabba Le'ula. We had in our Mishnah, ha reya shenikva, oisha chaseira. First Mishnah here in the beginning of the parak, that reya has two problems. One problem is nikva, that it has a hole in it, or chaser, that it's missing some material. In both of those cases, it becomes treif. Freitimar. Nikva, we know what it means. It's a puncture. My chaser, what means chaser? That it's missing. Ilem, puts from the outside, haine nikva. In other words, if you're telling me some of the outside membrane, the outside skin, is missing, so that's the equivalent of nikva, that this membrane no longer protects the inner membrane and the inner reya, because there not only is there a hole, but some of it is missing. So that is chaser and nikva will be exactly the same. Elav, then presumably with the Mishnah, when it says chaser, that it's right, means bimbefnim, that there's something in the middle, the internal reya, where parts of it are missing, meaning that they have become deteriorated and dissolved, and they're sloshing back and forth within the reya. Ushma mina de chaser bimbefnim, shmei chisaroin. Everything like the oyelum v'chutz is talking about from the outside. That's the same thing as nekev. Remember, Reb Shimon in our Mishnah disagrees, and he says just a hole in the lungs, that in itself doesn't cause it to become treif. It's got to go internally into the bronchi, the basis and pointis, the compartments within the reya. Otherwise, it's not. Sahani mili nekev to les pechisarn. That's a nekev that there is nothing missing. Ama nekev de is pechisarn. However, if there's a nekev that is, there's something missing, like our Mishnah, that we're talking about an upper membrane, an inner membrane is missing a piece, so it's not just that it's a nekev, but part of it has fallen off, whatever. So Feller Reb Shimon Moide comes to say that even Reb Shimon would be Moide in such a case, and that's why we have to have the case of both the Nekev and the Chisarin. It's only the Nekev that Reb Shimon disagrees and says a superficial Nekev is gunished. It's got to be the type of penetrating puncture that goes all the way into the basis and point is into the middle internal compartments. But as far as when it comes to Chaseira, Reb Shimon agrees, yes, a Chaseira would also possible. Reb Hananya, yes, Rabbi, you have a question?
I don't understand how come if it's Nishpach to Tiktoy, the Reya should be kosher, because this has no function whatsoever. If it's dissolved. It's like not being there, club.
It's true. The sum of what you have inside the Reya is dissolved, as if it's not there, says Geferlich. But it's not a Simen Tarfis. Simen Tarfis is only if the animal could not exist that way. What our Gemara is telling us is, based on Masoira, based on experience, based on speaking to all the Kreisa scientists and veterinarians, they determined that even though some of the innards of the Reya unfortunately have dissolved and deteriorated, the animal could still live for another 25 years. Just like you have, l'havdil, you have a human being that nemach broke his leg, broke his hip. It's very painful, and the person says, oi, 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 oi. And then 25 years later, he's still saying, oi, 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 oi. It's a bad break, and yes, he's in pain, and it's a takatsuris, but we can lay him.
But the simpinus also dissolves. If I'm pouring it out like water, there is no simpinus.
Yeah, we're not talking about that the whole thing. We're just saying the part of it. We're not saying that the entire inside.
It's not the entire.
Not the part of it has dissolved and is sloshing back and forth, but the essentials that you need for the continued life.
The simpinus are there.
Exactly. Yes, it's a smaller alveoli that clings to you.
It's functional by and large, but not crippled.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's exactly. So I don't know if you heard Barry, he says it functions by and large, though it's a little bit crippled inside.
Okay, if it's a part of it,
vital,
the bed is...
Yeah, if it's like a vital, vital, presuming in such a situation, it would make a hole, and the whole thing would fall to pieces. But anyway, so Zukti Moriyetz Vaita. Yes.
A cord of Shimon has to puncture all the way into the bronchi.
Right.
I mean, that's how do you open it up and you determine? I mean, that's I guess deep inside.
You blow up the lung. If you see that there's a hole that goes all the way, a puncture through and through, it's treifa cord trip Shimon. If you see that there's only a superficial hole but it doesn't go through and through, then it's kusha.
Or you do an MRI.
Or you do an MRI. You do a CAT scan. Or you do an X-ray. All those other fancy things. Talk to more about Reb Hananya Cholash. Reb Hananya was not feeling well. All the Gabi Reb Nosim Chogdoli Hador. All Reb Nosim Chogdoli Hador came to visit him. Bikur Cholim. Aisa Kamein. They brought him a Reish Nishvach Kitoin V'Achshra. And he says it's Kusha. Rabbi asked, why don't you go and say that it's totally dissolving, deteriorating, it's dead? Amarav of Huda Kaim Simpoinus. This Simpoinus is still Baruch Hashem, still working, still functioning, even though other parts inside this large area, unfortunately, have dissolved and deteriorated. But as long as the simpoinus are still intact, we are good. How do you know for sure what the situation is vis-a-vis this lung? So what's going on inside in terms of what has deteriorated, what hasn't deteriorated, that the simpoinus are still intact, the other part nished? So Amalei says I have an excellent way of figuring it out. What you do is Maisinen Tsa'a Dekunya V'Shavchinen Lo Begava. What you do is you go and take a plate or a basin which is made out of kunya. Kunya means it's not made out of just stam any material. It's got to be a Cheres Hamachuper Be'ever, which means it's what we would call today porcelain or something similar
it's
to that.
Glazed with lead.
It's glazed with lead, correct. So you start off with cheres, it's not just your plain kli cheres, but it's mechupa. If you look at the Rashi, about 10 lines from the bottom, Maisin and Tzor, the kunya, kara, a plate, shel cheres, made out of earthenware, but not earthenware. Hamachupa ba'evar, that it is now glazed, covered over with a plating of lead, shekorim, and that's the famous flumia blaz, if you all know. Tishihi, that is nice and smooth, the nearer yof, and there you can really see very nicely, like almost like a mirror, you could see your reflection. It's really nice and smooth and gabaldic. Good. And what do you do now? What you're going to do is take your reya, and you see that it's nishbach kamayim. So what do you do is nishbach kitoin, and you go and turn, either you make a puncture, or you go and just turn it over to the makam of the kana, and spill out the contents onto this plate. Now, because this plate is so nice and shiny and smooth and all the rest, what are you going to see now? If you see like white stripes in the liquid that is
pale.
Okay, chiver is also white. Because normally if you're pale, you're white. Yeah, exactly right.
That's what you say, chiver?
Yeah. So then, says the Gemara, treifa. Why is that treifa? Says Rashi, because v'adai nira shemichoi ha-simponisu. The basic structure of the branchi, the simponis, those are dissolving and those toignished. Therefore, it's treifa. V'iloi, however, if you don't find any of that, then share that it's kusha. It means that the basic structure is intact, and they're just some alveoli, some clenching gazachim that have fallen to pieces. Nishkeferlech, this reya and this behema could have gone on for years, but of course you shechted it. Om Rav Nachman, reya shinimuka, ukrum shalo, kayim, ksherim. Ever reya shinimuka. Rashi says, nisroikna me eleho miktsasa, ve'ena nishpacha ke kitoin, ach miktsasa li nishaklum. In other words, you open up the reya and you discover. Baruch Hashem, it's not nishbach kitain, but some of the innards that you would normally find inside the reya have totally dissolved and they're nowhere to be found. They are lost forever. Okay, so what happens with such a reya? Says the Gemara, as long as the krum shalokayim, the outer membrane is still intact, ksheira, because ultimately, exactly, ultimately what's going to happen is this reya could have, would have, should have continued to function and to work in this behema, had you not shechted it. Tana mihochi raya from a braisa, reya shinimuka, which we just spoke about, that part of it had already dissolved, and you can't find it. Ukrum shalokayim, the outer membrane is intact. Afilim machzekis revias. Rashi says machzekis revias means even that portion of the lung where it's missing material in the lung, if you last Rashi, chalal chisorin hamachzek revias haloik, that portion of the lung, which is now never emptied from its normal contents because they all dissolved, even if it holds, it's large enough like a revius haloig, it's still kshay. And now for the first time in the last day or two, we're going to go off just for a moment into other anatomical organs inside the animal's body. Nitle shalfuchis, we're no longer talking about a reya, we're talking about a shalfuchis. Vus meint a shalfuchis, says Rashi, shalfuchis is the same as a womb. So obviously we're talking about a female animal that has a womb to it, and that shalfuchis shalah, unfortunately, is nitla. It's out. It has dissolved, it didn't have one, whatever. Obviously this animal cannot reproduce. However, it's still kosher. In other words, it's telling us that even though an animal is missing its reproductive organs, that doesn't affect the life of the animal. The animal could have lived for another 25 years. Therefore, it's kosher.
Maybe 50 years.
Yeah. It's liya kovet shelo. What happens if the kovet, kovet is the liver, if it became all wormy? Remember, in our Mishnah we said that it's going to be kosher. Even if only a mashu was left, nitla kovet, it's only a little bit. The next Mishnah said, not really, at least a kezayis. But that's all that there was. Here we're talking about the kovet is entirely intact, but unfortunately it's wormy. So what's the din now? Zehoye maisa, v'olu aleha b'nei asya gimel regalim liyavne. This is a story that really happened. And the people of Asya came up to be oyle regel three times to Yavne. In other words, each time the Shloish Regalim, they obviously didn't bring any kabonis in Yavne, but as you know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that shortly before the Churban Abayis, the Sanhedrin had to move to different places, and at least twice out of 10 different stations, they were in Yavne. We talk about Kerem B'Yavne, right? Chachni Yavne. Anyway, so three times they were oyle to Yavne to ask the same question again and again. Hislia Kovichula. Kusha or not, kusha or not. The first two times, the Sanhedrin said, we have to think about it. And they didn't give an answer. The third time they came, he to rule them, they said, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Therefore, such a situation would be kosher. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
I take a call.